Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well.
Awesome. How's your week been?
My week's been great.
Great. Not just good, but great.
Yeah, still
How is
coughing, which is
that?
fun. And there we go. On cue. Yeah, just chilling, really. Just plodding through, just getting on with life, loving. Spending loads of money on nothing, and just like you spend money, don't you? Spend money on heating, spend money
Oh.
on fuel, spend money on food, spend money on all the things that you really can't be asked spending money on. Great life.
Yeah. It's makes you wonder why it's what it's all about, really. Just seems it's just so frustrating.
But we live and learn, and we move on, and all the other positive affirmations that we possibly go with.
Sorry, that was a bit down, sorry. On a more positive note, you may recall you probably won't Wes because you never re-listen to our episodes. But
No.
in one of our episodes, our friend Matt, the
Drummer.
podcaster, that was Greg the drummer.
Greg the
Matt was
drummer.
the Spurs Matt the Spurs
Yes.
podcaster,
Yeah.
who I bumped into at where he works the other day and said hello. That was
Yes.
nice. Hello, Matt.
Cool.
And he recommended, as his one of his favorite products was chicken, like
Yeah, I've
chicken but
still
with an
not had that.
S.
Still not had that.
Yeah, so I was in our local Tesco at the weekend and they had chicken korma,
Ooh.
and we just had it for dinner today, and it was very nice,
Blended.
quite handy for a ready meal. It was good.
Yeah, that's good.
The
Talk.
chicken bits were good.
Cool. Talking of food, if anything, if there's any strange noises happening throughout this podcast that isn't me coughing and or me talking complete nonsense, it's Josh making a crumble topping
Ooh.
and Michelle making a bolognese. I'm in the kitchen.
Oh, what are you having? Bolognese crumble?
Yeah, bolognese crumble. It's a take on Martin's brudding.
Hashtag brooding. Yep. Okay, we'll
Bolon.
get that trending if it's the last thing we do.
There we go. Bolon crumble.
Bolo crumble. Okay. Bolognese crumble.
Amazing.
Interesting. Okay. Oh, we're gonna see you. We're gonna see each other next weekend, aren't we? Can
We
you
are going to
bring
see
some
each other.
along? Or actually, I
What?
say this is how it goes again. We're gonna see you each other next weekend. That's now as we're speaking, but by the time this is released, we will have seen each other
Yes.
about 3 weeks
Oh,
ago.
God, it's a really
But
weird Back to the Future paradox.
that's it.
What if we see our what if we see our future selves?
Oh,
Does the universe explode?
well, fingers crossed.
We can all live in hope that
Yeah. Happy
will. Oh,
days. Happy days.
dear. Happy days.
I thought of something else to tell you as well, and I forgot. So I'll let it just
Brilliant.
be.
So I, in my love of good news,
Oh yeah.
I have some this week.
Oh, lovely.
Apparently the rhino population is increasing, and poaching has pretty much stopped, apparently,
Oh, I like the sound of that.
which is a bit of a bonus. No rhinos have been poached in India's largest rhino reserve in the last 12 months.
That is good
That is
news.
very good news.
So is that because people don't want rhino horn or because they're just getting better at stopping them?
Doesn't say, but let's go with both.
Yeah, okay, maybe yeah, a
Because I mean,
mixture.
who would want rhino horn anyway, unless you're completely mental?
That is a good, I mean, yes, it's a traditional thing, isn't it, that people have for some reason carried on even though there's absolutely no need to.
Yeah.
But there we go.
Oh, dear.
go
Got a
on.
guest. Got a guest.
Yeah, tell us about our guests before they come on, because this is very exciting, listeners, because this is Wes's first guest who he's invited on. So no pressure, Wes.
No
pressure.
No. So tonight's guest is a lady called Elle. She runs an Instagram account called Very Good, Very Nice. That's very, not very. It's quite clever. She does like tons of recipes and all sorts of stuff. And honestly, you could look through her Instagram account and just want to go around her house for dinner. Because the food she cooks is just looks incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's definitely got better presentation skills than I have, because everything's really well laid out, and I just chuck it on a plate and take a picture and post it. And at the time, you think it looks nice, and then when I'm scrolling back through pictures of food that I've posted before, I'm like, that just looks like a bowl of slop. How on earth did I think that was all right?
Every time I go to do a video of me cooking or just stirring a pot. Or the presented meal, I'll take a picture of it. I think that's not going anywhere. I'll just delete that because it looks crap.
Nope.
But nope. I think it's amazing how people make food look so incredible. But it's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I did a time lapse video once, me making some recipe from scratch, pointing over the saucepan and cooking and everything. Absolute dog shit. The worst video you've ever seen. Even worse than, a Quentin Tarantino movie that's 3 hours too long. So frustrating.
Well, I rewatched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood last night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And now knowing a little bit of the story of the child of the Manson family murders, it made a lot more sense and it was quite good.
Oh, okay. And it didn't feel too long.
No, Michelle and Josh both liked it as well. It was their first viewing, and they said it was really good. I mean, it's not Pulp Fiction, and it's not Reservoir Dogs, but it was okay. It was good.
Okie dokes. All right.
Yeah. So
that was the film that I came out of the cinema. I rang you straight away and said, "I'm done with Tarantino. I'm fed up with his too long films. I'm not watching them anymore."
Exactly. That was it. Yeah. Cool.
So, yeah. Anyway, it's not a film podcast, it's a vegan podcast.
So let's get on with it.
Let's. Our guest on this episode is Elle, who is aka Very Good, Very Nice on Instagram.
That's me. And,
yes. And now I want to pronounce this properly because I think I got it wrong earlier on. Your website is, I guess you'd say Vegan Easy, would you?
But Vegan Easy.
V-E-G-N.
Vegan Easy.
Yeah, Vegan Easy. Okay.
That's right.
And Wes and I were talking in the intro about your Instagram feed, which is just makes me hungry every time I look at it. Because the way that you've presented the food is just absolutely incredible. Like mine always looks like just a bowl of slop. Whenever I post anything, but yeah, that's incredible.
Thank you.
You've set some standards there that the rest of us need to follow.
I get so jealous when I look at other people's Instagram pages. So I'm like, oh no, mine isn't colourful enough, or it's not good enough. So thank you. That's really nice to hear. Actually,
I can't do it. I was saying in the intro how I try and film myself stirring a pot. it just looks crap, and then I put it on a plate and take a picture, and I'm like, it's
not good enough.
No.
Yeah,
and then I see
feeds like yours.
I'm like, wow.
Thank you. I've got about 36,000 photos on my phone and probably about 8,000 videos. So in terms of getting that perfect shot, it takes a long time.
Right, that explains a lot, because mine is like, I'll just snap a picture and then get to eating as quickly as possible. Whereas obviously you're more of a more of an artist with it.
It's a whole thing. Whenever I go out for food, everyone's like, oh, Elle's got to take pictures of it. So everyone has to wait, and then everyone starts complaining. So
just go around the table, go around to each individual person's table and just take a picture of it.
Yeah, you can start eating. You can start eating. Hold on. I haven't taken your pictures yet. Yeah. It's all fun and games.
Awesome. So, Ellen, tell us, what's your vegan story?
Oh, God, where to start? I've been on and off with veganism for a really long time. So it started out with going vegetarian, and then I found myself slowly going straight back to meat because I found myself getting really malnourished. And then back in 2018, there was a lot of health stuff that happened, and I ended up having weight loss surgery, which isn't something that I've necessarily talked about on my Instagram account because it feels like it's really personal to me. So I had a sleeve gastrectomy, which is where they remove half of your stomach, and that was botched. So after a year, that was converted to a full gastric bypass. And after that was done, I found myself with no nutritional support because I had it done privately. So there was no support, there was no dietitian input, there was no psychiatry input. And I had a lot of trauma growing up as well, which is why I ended up gaining so much weight. So I thought to myself, what can I do to try and help myself? Because I wasn't losing weight. I didn't know how to use my surgery as a tool. So I started learning about food and I started learning about nutrition. And then it kind of spiraled from that point. And I started looking at micros and macros and kind of got a little bit obsessed with food as a whole. And I think as a society, we're really guilty of walking around supermarkets thinking, oh, well, you know, I'll just get these biscuits and I'll get these crisps and I'll pick this chicken up. And people don't really see food as fuel anymore. It's seen as a luxury item. So I started to teach myself about food. And that's pretty much how I ended up going into veganism. But I do it properly. So I've tried it before in the past and it hasn't worked. And that's because I haven't known about B12 flakes and I haven't known about supplementation and all of those different things that I think are really important when you commit to a vegan lifestyle. So that's pretty much my story.
Yeah, that's a really good, really good point around the fuel, using it as fuel, because that's what it is, isn't it, really?
Absolutely.
Making sure you've got the right nutrition is so key, especially for us protein deficient vegans who are
how'd you get your B12?
So that's a really interesting way of looking at it. So what was it then that pointed you towards veganism specifically and not taking in the meat and all that stuff?
It was me. I've always kind of veered away from meat. Always naturally, I'd always go for like a cheese and onion pie over a steak dinner, for example. And then once I started to cut meat out, I found that as I was studying nutrition, I was taught that your villi on the tongue, like little hairs on the tongue, what happens is when you eat oils and fats and greasy foods and takeaways, the villi on the tongue actually gets destroyed. So that villi is there so that you can distinguish between sweet and salty. So when that villi is destroyed by the oils and the salts and the greases and all those kinds of things, it causes you to crave that stuff, which is why you can never really have just one McDonald's. It always spirals into, you know, like you might go into a week or so where you're like, I need some McDonald's fries. Like I have to have them. Once you cut those things out, and the same thing is with veganism, once you cut those things out, the villi starts to regrow and that's when your palate starts to change, which is why I get so annoyed when people start saying, oh, you know, I can't live without McDonald's. I couldn't be vegan because of bacon and sausages and all this kind of stuff. And then I think to myself, there's always an adjustment period when it comes to changing your diet. But once that villi starts to regrow and your palate starts to change, who knows what you're interested in? So that's pretty much how I ended up with being interested in veganism. And then it spiraled into learning about the cattle industry and the dairy industry and just how barbaric those practices are. And I wouldn't walk into somebody's living room and slaughter their dog, for example. <She don't know. laughs> I never would do that. But it's the same principle with a pig. Imagine if I did. I never would, ever. But it's the same principle. You know, like people, butchers, for example, will slaughter pigs and that's acceptable. Like they say, the only difference is perception. So I wouldn't slaughter somebody's family pet, but people don't think twice about loading up their trolleys with bacon and sausages and all those kinds of things. So it does get frustrating. It gets
they
very
might think
frustrating.
about it. They might think twice about it if they were the one who had to do the slaughtering, though.
See, I have brought this
into disconnect, isn't it?
It is the disconnect, yeah, absolutely. The cognitive dissonance that's behind it all. But I have brought this up with some of my friends before now when I've said to them, would you still eat a steak dinner if it meant that you had to slaughter a cow? And they've gone, well, I don't have to. And I'm like, I know you don't have to, but I'm just saying, if you were told you could have a steak, but you have to slaughter the cow, would you do it? And they're like, well, in all honesty, no, probably not. And I'm like, well, that's the difference, isn't it? That is the difference. And yet I'm the weird one for having compassion.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
There's a couple of adverts, wasn't there? There was one that was, I went into a supermarket to get a lamb.
Yep.
They said, I want the freshest lamb you could possibly get. And the guy just brings out a baby lamb and says, there you go, with a knife. And then there's the other one where they're in a restaurant and he says, oh, I want a rack of ribs or something. And they say, well, come with us then and you can come and kill this pig and you can have your ribs. And like, whoa, I don't know how anybody can continue doing it.
It's bizarre, isn't it? I have had it before now where I've pointed out to somebody, for example, one of my friends, she loves animals. She loves them so much, but she won't think twice to eating lamb. It's her favorite meat in the world. So I said to her that, how can you feel comfortable eating a baby lamb but still support baby animals? That doesn't really make sense. Anyway, I'm a bad person because now I've ruined the fact that she disassociated a lamb with the lamb that's on her plate. And I just thought, how did we get here to this society when, in all honesty, people are fickle and they're quite, I don't want to say stupid because I don't want to say that anyone's stupid, but it's clear black and white.
It's willful stupidity.
It is willful stupidity.
Because people don't, you said about being labelled the bad guy or the bad person, but you've pointed out people's hypocrisy.
Yeah, and they don't like it. They don't. We actually made a soup that went viral on Reddit. It must have been about 2 weeks ago now. And it was just like a tortelloni soup, really creamy, really delicious. And posted it on Reddit. And it ended up like pinned at the top of Reddit for about 24 hours with millions of views. And it was all because the word carnist was used. And that, bearing in mind, this was a vegan subreddit. And the word carnist was used in the title. It said something like, who says the carnists have to have all the fun? Because we'd veganized the recipe. Oh my God. Like the amount of death threats from people. Honestly, the amount of people that were like, this is why everyone hates vegans. We disagree with you using the word carnist. And I'm like, carnist literally means someone who eats and enjoys eating animals. How can you get offended by that? It is literally
just
the definition. Honestly, it was bizarre. So for about 24 hours I was like, oh God, please don't find my Instagram account, please. And then somebody did. They did. But I shut that down quite quickly.
Yeah. Oh wow.
I got called a Nazi fascist at work on Sunday, which I thought was quite nice.
Wow.
Just because I'm vegan. It was great.
Oh, you vegan, you bad person. How dare you support those animals? Yeah. How dare you?
And yet, carnists are the one putting pigs in gas chambers. But carry on.
I brought up the Holocaust. And,
Oh, and that made you the Nazi?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Good grief.
Right laugh. Anyway, El, that's that. What's been the biggest struggle through that? Obviously, there was a lot of stuff going on there, but...
Yeah, I would say the biggest struggle is committing to the diet. Once you've committed to a vegan lifestyle, everything else comes so naturally. So naturally. And I think it's quite important to talk about activism burnout as well. So I like to refer to it as almost a compassion fatigue, where we as vegans are empaths. We care so deeply about the cause that we take on board everything that people say around us, and then we get almost gaslit by people saying, you're vegan, so all you do is eat leaves, and you're only doing it for clout, or all of those kinds of things. And we have to take that on board, and being so highly empathic, it gets really, really difficult to deal with. There are people who are hardcore vegans that I follow on Instagram who post animal abuse videos every day, and I find it so difficult to watch those videos, and I have to kind of mute them for a while, because in my mind I have to protect my own mental health. What I'm doing is brilliant because I'm supporting animals, I am trying to work against the dairy industry and the cattle industry, and we're working with sustainable practices as well, such as, you know, the ones talked about in like Cowspiracy, where they talk about the sustainability of the cattle industry and all that kind of stuff. So we're working with all of those different things, and we have to protect our own mental health. There has to be a healthy boundary there. So I have to kind of unfollow, not unfollow, but hide them from my newsfeed for a while, because I know that what I'm doing is good enough right now. And that's where I suppose the debate about sustainable veganism, where subjective veganism comes into it. So one of my friends, for example, will say it is far better for 100 people to do veganism imperfectly than it is for one person to do it perfectly. There is so much more impact that way. So the biggest struggle has definitely been trying to convince people that I'm not nutritionally deficient, that I know what I'm doing with my diet, and I'm doing what I'm doing because it feels morally right to me. Yeah. And if I want to be an activist, I will be an activist. But right now, to protect my own mental health, I will change my diet to try and save as many animals as I can and be as cruelty-free as I can. But I'm not going to be someone who posts the hardcore animal abuse videos. That's just never going to be me, ever. You're not going to get people on side by being as hardcore as that. I've found that people are much more willing to or open to the idea of veganism if you ease them in gently, rather than just going, look at this video of this horrific act being, you know, being committed, because then people just immediately go, oh, that doesn't happen, you know, that's just a one-off, they don't do it like that in this country. So that's definitely been the biggest struggle.
It can be such a big turn-off, because as soon as people see it, they're just, that's it, the
blindsided,
the barriers go up and that's it, they're not having it.
Absolutely, blinkers on.
That's it.
I feel like I've had a slap wrist.
Why? Oh, because you post some of that stuff sometimes. No, it's absolutely
I do it to annoy all my friends, all my carnist friends. Yeah. I'm just like, I'm just going to share it just to annoy you. if I get a rise out of you, then happy days. But otherwise, just there you go. Have a look at that.
You shared a great one yesterday. It was really, really good. Really effective, I thought. Although I was the only person who liked it. So
because you like all of them. There we
go. Yeah.
See, the thing is, this is going to sound so big-headed. It's not meant that way at all. I've now got so many followers on Instagram. I find it so difficult to keep up with the people that I really want to keep up with. Wes, you never come up on my feed ever. I have to like search out your profile. And I have to do that. I have to do that with so many people. But yeah, I'm 27 followers away from 2,000, which feels
nice.
Absolutely insane. It's nothing compared to people with like 10,000, for example. But considering I started my account less than 7 months ago, it's just blown up. Absolutely blown up.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah. Really good. Really good. So when you went vegan then, what did your friends and family think about it?
I grew up on a council estate in St. Helens, very poverty stricken town. People weren't vegetarian, they weren't vegan. It was a very kind of not very forward thinking town. And then when I moved to uni and I started kind of learning about all the different food groups and all that kind of stuff, I talked to my family about it and they'd be like, what are you on about? What's tofu? Like, that's no, like, get yourself a Big Mac. And I'd be like, no, I think, you know, like this healthy eating business, there is a lot of like scientific evidence to state that it's actually really good for you. And I know that sounds absolutely ridiculous to be 22 years old and trying to convince your own family that healthy food is actually healthy for you. But that just gives weight to just how much poverty I kind of grew up in and how poor my family were. I remember microwaving eggs when I was about 4 years old just to try and get something to eat. In terms of my family, they are very backwards thinking. They're not very open to the idea of veganism or vegetarianism. And I went out with, actually just before Christmas, I went to see my mum, and my brother said, oh, should we go out for some food? And my mum just immediately turned around and went, oh, don't be stupid, she's vegan, she can't eat anything. And I just thought to myself, I'm not doing this. Like, I'm not doing this again. But eventually we did go out for some food, and I had some jackfruit wings and I had some vegan nachos, which are perfectly normal things to eat. And I offered them both. I offered my mum and my brother some, and they both went, "Oh God, no, like, I don't know what's in it." And I was like, "You are eating a fish. You are eating a fish. Like, that is probably worse. That is much worse than what I'm eating." But they were so afraid of the idea of jackfruit that they weren't even willing to open their eyes and even try it. I remember them scrunching their faces up, and I was like, "It's nothing to scrunch your face up over." Like, you know. And in terms of friends, the majority of my friends are vegan. I do have a friend who absolutely hates the idea of soft cheese but loves cheesecake, which is quite hypocritical in itself. But she acknowledges that. She won't touch vegan food at all. So we have to kind of find other places to go to where she can find her carnist food. And we have to kind of like compromise with that, which is really frustrating for me. I hope she doesn't listen to this. She'll probably take all of that the wrong way. But yeah, all of my friends are vegan. Once a month, me and some of my friends go around the country and we find a new place that's completely vegan to eat at, and we review it. Normally putting a review up on the website, or I'll just review it in the form of a reel. But in terms of friends and family, family not so, but friends are definitely supportive.
That's good.
Yeah, it's really,
that's really good.
Especially you when I cook for them.
you don't sound like you're from St. Helens.
Years of practice. No, to be fair, I grew up in Bristol and then moved to St. Helens, and then I went to uni in Preston. I've lost the Bristolian twang, thankfully, although Sloider does come out soon sometimes. And I think Preston has fine-tuned the St. Helens out of me. But when I'm mad, I'm really mad. I go straight back to almost pure Scouse. And everyone around me thinks it's hilarious, but it's really not.
I used to work with a lady who was born in Liverpool and grew up in Liverpool, and similar to you, went away for university and then spent her whole adult life trying to hide the fact that she was a Scouser. But then whenever she got angry at someone, that's when you knew, because she just couldn't hide it, and it would come right back. Like, she was...
It's like a curse. Honestly, it's a curse. The second someone annoys me, it's like, we are having this out right now. I just can't control it. It's like a chihuahua comes Fantastic. Out of me, and suddenly I just bite everyone's ankles.
That's amazing.
Oh, brilliant. You can take the girl out of Merseyside, but can't take Merseyside.
Definitely can't take Merseyside out of me. Definitely not. Well, saying that, I prefer to think that I'm Lancastrian. Definitely not. Lancashire through and through.
Okay, fair enough.
So has anything changed for you since you went vegan?
My temper's gotten worse. But that's mainly because I don't know whether people have gotten willfully more stupid, or if I'm doing something wrong. I've got no idea, to be quite honest. But I walk around supermarkets and I get so irrationally angry by having to walk down an aisle of animal carcasses just to get to the vegan food. And it boils my blood. I hate it. It doesn't make any sense at all as to why they force vegans to kind of walk through a graveyard to get to the food that they actually want. And then you go into different supermarkets, and people do things so differently. So, for example, let's go with Burger King. So Burger King have released their vegan bacon royale, and we know that that is vegan. It's registered with the Vegan Society. It's prepared separately. Great. But they have their plant-based Whopper. Now, the plant-based Whopper isn't vegan because it's prepared on the same broiler as meat. So it cannot be considered vegan, which is fine. We know where we stand with Burger King. However, if we go into a supermarket and we pick up a plant-based meal, which is marketed as plant-based, it is vegan. So Asda, their plant-based meals are vegan. Great. You go to Morrison's, some of the plant-based stuff is vegan. Some of it is vegetarian. So you have to trawl through it to find what's vegan and what's vegetarian. Mm. But then you go to places like Lidl and they've got their Vermondo range with the whole veganuary thing. And an example of this is last week I was in there and I picked up a tofu lasagna. And I was thinking to myself, it's Vermondo, it's part of veganuary. It is a tofu lasagna. So I picked it up and put it in the trolley.
Should be fine.
It should be fine. Absolutely fine. Put it in the trolley. And then I was like, oh, hang on a second. There's another lasagna there. I think I'll try that one too. So I picked that one up and something made me check it. Both vegetarian. Both vegetarian, but marketed as plant-based. Wow. And I was like, how can Burger King have one definition of plant-based, but then supermarket by supermarket have an entirely different definition of plant-based? It gets so confusing because Subway, they market all of their vegan stuff as plant-based.
Mm.
But yeah. KFC market theirs is vegan. So,
oh, God. What was in the lasagnas then that made them not vegan, but vegetarian, that was still milk. Plant-based?
Milk.
Milk? That's not milk. Plant-based.
I know. It was so bizarre. I stood there for like 5 minutes thinking to myself, like, is this actually plant-based? Like, what is this?
That's nuts.
Yeah, I don't understand vegetarians. But probably best not to get onto that because I probably will get a lot of hatred for that. I just don't see the point in doing half a job. I really don't. And I appreciate vegetarians for leading the way for vegan food. I absolutely do. But there comes a point where you have to decide, are you doing it for the animals or are you doing it for yourself? Because if you're doing it for the animals, then you're not doing enough. And yeah. I know that sounds awful to say, but, you know, companies now are thinking, if we cater for vegetarians, we've met the gold star standard. We don't need to put any extra effort in. So we'll cater for vegetarians. Vegans can have whatever is left over. Whereas everything that vegans can eat is vegetarian, whereas nothing or barely anything that vegetarians eat is suitable for vegans. So in a way, we're kind of almost fighting each other to try and get the products that we need. But that's a whole other debate on supply and demand, isn't it? So,
yeah. Yeah. No, it's a good point, though. I mean, vegetarians can eat everything that we eat, but we can't really like you say, much that they can eat. So from a purely capitalist point of view, surely it would be better to cater for us.
Absolutely. And
vegetarians can put a bit of cheese on the top.
Exactly. I mean, they could buy it separately, can't they? But for some reason, the gold star standard has been to cater for vegetarians and then just see whatever is left over or see what is accidentally vegan just to try and pacify us. But I do think the tide is turning with veganism. Absolutely. And it's expanding far quicker than I ever thought it would.
Yeah definitely. We've said that quite a few times over the last few weeks, haven't we? How incredibly big it's grown since me and Matthew went vegan in the last 5 or 6 years. It's like grown exponentially.
We're not claiming credit for it though, just
I think we should.
I have so much respect for people that have been vegetarian or vegan for so long, because there was a point where all you could access was Linda McCartney and Korn. And in the nicest possible way, they are two companies I despise. I absolutely despise those companies. You'll never see Korn or Linda McCartney on my feed ever. And that's because the quality of vegan food now is so good. We've got this sausages, we've got this bacon, La Vie bacon, we've got so many options that we don't need to rely on Linda McCartney and Korn anymore. But there are some people who grew up with those things and will never deviate from them. And that's absolutely fine. You do you. But the innovation of vegan companies these days is just beyond me. It is amazing.
Yes. Oh, we had the this streaky bacon at the weekend.
Oh, so good.
Oh, my God.
So
I thought
good.
I thought the rashers that they did was good, but that streaky bacon is absolutely
insane.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Incredible. Absolutely.
Whereas you've got to get some.
What is it? Just they put more salt in it?
No, it's literally like a streaky bacon.
No idea.
Wow.
It's long. It's got the white bit of fat along the side and it goes crispy and it.
Yeah.
How does it?
I will incredible. Admit, if you look at it on the shelves, you'd be a bit like, maybe not, but try it. It sizzles, it smells like bacon, and it tastes so good. Like, it's a staple in this house. Like, we buy it every couple of days.
Yeah, and also, it looks a lot like all the other pretend bacons that have been around for a while, but they're all rubbish in comparison to this one. So this one actually is the business.
I thought that Aldi, which by the way, Aldi and Asda's plant bacon, exact same thing. It's just Aldi's is cheaper. It's the exact same thing.
Oh.
But I thought that was good up until this release, this streaky bacon. And I was like, okay, this is in a league of its own. This is amazing.
It absolutely is. Yeah. And they're not paying us to say that.
No, they're not. They're not even paying me.
If they want to send us some free samples.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Go ahead. Sophie at this. She needs to send us some samples. I talked to Sophie
Instagram. Wow.
My DMs are just backed up every single day. But yeah, it is what it is. It's, life of social media, isn't it?
That's it.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay, right. I've got a key bingo question for you now.
Go on.
Where do you get your protein?
Oh,
and other nutrients?
And other nutrients. Well, I mean, I've been vegan for so long and I'm still alive. So really, I'm doing a good enough job.
Yeah.
I add B12 flakes to everything I eat. I add nori seaweed to everything that I eat. When it comes to iron levels, I am very iron deficient sometimes, having to rely on iron infusions. So once a month, I'll neck a Guinness just to try and keep my iron levels up, which works a treat.
Good excuse.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So is there enough iron then in a pint of Guinness? I thought that was a myth.
It's not a myth. It's not a myth. There's a lot of iron in Guinness.
Okay.
Talk amongst yourselves while I Google it.
Go ahead. If you drink it and take your supplements at the same time, then it is usually enough to keep you afloat. But my iron levels have dropped as low as 3 or 4 before now, which is very, very, very bad. But yeah, Guinness just keeps me topped up. So once a month, pint of Guinness. I hate the taste of it, so I have to hold my nose and just kind of neck it.
like a medicine.
Yeah, exactly like a medicine. It's my Calpol. That's what it is. Every month, my Calpol. But yeah, I make a lot of cheese sauces with nutritional yeast. Nooch. It's the best thing in the world. I top everything with it. I do now have a dietitian that I work with on a fortnightly basis. And what we tend to do is we tend to go through my diet with a fine tooth comb and we swap out things that are working and things that aren't working. So I am gluten sensitive, but you'll never find me cutting gluten out altogether because I love bread so much. But making small changes such as adding seeded loaves into your diet rather than relying on white bread is just a really small thing that you can do to get some extra nutrients and some extra protein in and all those kinds of things. I'm not saying it's a huge amount of protein, but it's there. And I tend to follow a 5-2, which is 5 days of whole food plant-based, which is no meat alternatives. It's mainly tofu, legumes, lentils, and all those kinds of things. And then for 2 days, I'll add in the meat replacements. I find that that works really well for me in terms of making sure I've got enough protein, because tofu is insane for protein.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane. It's so good. You can whip it into like a cheese if you add nooch into it. You can fry it into some steaks. Like there's so much you can do with it. Absolutely so much. But I do think it's really important to mention that when I was growing up specifically, we were told that you know, you have to drink milk to get strong bones and you have to make sure you eat cheese and all that kind of stuff. Calcium is a soil-rich food. It comes from soil. We don't need it to come from animals. So I don't know why everybody runs with this idea that we need to have dairy products to get enough calcium. We absolutely don't. The alternatives are just as good. In fact, they're just 10 times better. But we've had that instilled in us for so long that people now think the only way forward is to eat and to eat animals and to drink animal products, and that's just not true.
I saw somewhere that a portion of broccoli has more calcium in it than a glass of milk.
And folic acid, which is brilliant for women, yeah. especially women of childbearing age or pregnant women. Spinach, kale, all the greens. Just pack as much as you can into a Buddha bowl and you do not need to worry about protein. And I think something that annoys me actually is if I introduce myself and I say, oh, hi, I'm Elle, I'm vegan. People will go, oh my God, where do you get your B12 from? Where do you get your nutrients from? And I'm like, do you ask carnists that question?
Yeah, like, do you walk up to business. Someone and...
exactly, it's got nothing to do with them, but everybody cares about our nutrition when they should be looking at the processed food that carnists eat, and all the added hormones and chemicals and all the things that come with eating animal products. It is a bugbear. Don't ask me something... questions that you wouldn't ask a carnist.
Yeah, it's something that we all face on a regular basis. Right, absolutely. Guinness has 0.3 milligrams of iron per pint, which is about 3% of an adult's daily recommended iron intake. So how many pints are you having when you have a Guinness?
Normally one or two.
Okay, fine.
But if you think about the fact that my diet is very rich in greens and leafy spinaches and kales and all those kinds of things, and supplements as well, especially after weight loss surgery, you get malnourished very, very quickly. So I'm on very high strength iron tablets too. Right. So the average person will probably need like 5 or 6 pints, whereas I only need one or two.
Yeah, so Elle, what's the best thing about being vegan?
Apart from being superior to everybody... No, I'm kidding.
Yes, exactly, that's it.
The best thing about being vegan is knowing that I am helping as many animals as I can, which is always great.
Yeah.
Knowing that the way that I live my life is as cruelty-free as possible. Obviously, the definition of veganism is we do everything we possibly can to limit any animal products, etc. So it's not possible to be 100% vegan 100% of the time. But I'm happy with, I suppose, how vegan I am. That sounds a bit silly to say. But what I mean by that is veganism can be subjective to some people. So what is vegan to you may not be vegan to me. Some vegans will use sheep's wool because the sheep need to be shorn anyway, which is a bit of a bizarre argument, if I'm to be completely honest. So I've completely forgotten what question you asked, if I'm completely honest with you.
What's the best thing about being vegan?
The best thing about being vegan? Knowing that anything you can eat, I can eat vegan, number one. Number two is innovating with food. I have never experimented with food the way that I do now that I'm vegan.
Yeah.
I know that all it takes is a bit of aquafaba and some cocoa powder and I can make a chocolate mousse. And that's two ingredients. And it works. And I'm not saying I'm superior to other people, especially not meat eaters. But, you know, we do have a level of compassion and empathy that is lacking in some areas of society. No, I'm kidding. I never think that I'm better than other people just because I'm vegan. But I do think being vegan makes me a better person.
Yes. It's all about being the best version of yourself, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, in diet, in personality, in relationships. It sounds a bit silly to say, but veganism is a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle change and it is a big commitment to make. And that's why I said earlier in the podcast, once you've decided to make that commitment, that's the hardest thing done. Everything else just falls into place.
Yeah. That's true. If you're keen on making that commitment, then you make it work, don't you? How can I change this in my life to make sure I'm doing, like you said, as much as I possibly can to reduce animal suffering, because that's what it's
exactly about. Yeah, and even then, if it's not just for animal suffering, do it for your health, do it for your children, do it for the planet. The planet is dying and all we're doing is standing around watching animals get slaughtered because people have just got their blinkers on. And I think that we really do need to wake up and see, well, not myself and yourselves, but the world needs to wake up and realise the kind of damage that we're doing to the planet.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
Although I do like the fact that, I can't remember who said it. I think it was David Attenborough. Might not have been him. I don't know. I'm making names up. that people say that. And I know you've said that and I'm not taking it away from you, but the planet will be here when we go. It's us that will go, and the planet will thrive when we've gone. The sooner we bugger off, the better.
Yeah, Absolutely. And even then, if people are like, oh, I don't really care about the planet, blah, 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 that's a million years from now. I'm pretty sure that your offspring will have offspring that will have offspring. So do it for them. Yeah, if you're not doing it for absolutely. The animals, do it for them.
Yeah, yeah. 100%.
That's it. I think it's really important to personalize the effects of it, because certainly sort of the generation older than ours, and by that I mean me and Wes, because we're old, the generation older than ours, it won't affect them because they'll be gone.
Exactly.
It may affect us.
Yeah.
But it may not. It depends how it goes. For you and for people even younger, like our kids, it absolutely will affect them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so I think there's
how
an
could
element...
you not go for that?
Exactly. I think there's an element of, oh, well, you know, doesn't really matter what happens in 2 weeks' time, 2 months' time, 2 years' time, because I'm just going to live in the moment and I'm just going to do what I enjoy doing now. And it just doesn't work like that. We need to start preparing the planet for our offspring and our offspring's offspring, and just trying to do everything that we can to live a cruelty-free life. We have the means, we have the facilities. It's just some people are just cognitively... impaired. I don't really want to say that, it sounds really mean, but what I mean by that is, it if you look at things as a black and white, from a black and white perspective, we have slaughter animals and eat their meat, or we could eat an alternative that doesn't slaughter animals and doesn't cause any pain. So to me, there is no gray area. There is no, oh, but I really like steak. No, you either eat an animal or you eat its alternative. And if the alternative exists, why are you eating an animal?
Mm-hmm.
It's bizarre. I wouldn't eat another human. So, you know, why are we eating animals? It just doesn't make sense.
Totally.
Absolutely. So you mentioned then alternatives to steaks. What's your favorite vegan product at the moment?
Oh, are you ready? Because I have I'm pretty sure I have a mental list. So number one, squeaky bean. Anything squeaky
bean.
Yes. They, to me, in my opinion, have revolutionized the sandwich meat industry. Pastrami, perfection. The char grilled steaks, perfection. The new cooking chorizo is so good that I bought it, got in the car, and before I'd even left Waitrose's car park, it was gone. Like, I've just eaten it. It is just so good. And all of the things that I would eat as a non-vegan, like chorizo, paella, I can't even think off the top of my head, like shepherd's pies, all those kinds of things we can so easily substitute. So easily. But there's just that lack of association with people thinking, oh, well, instead of me causing harm, I can actually use an alternative. And I think squeaky bean have been really, really good, because people aren't necessarily reaching for meal deals anymore. What they're reaching for is they're reaching for the sandwich meat so they can make their own. And the fact that they've gone for these heat to eat chicken style pieces, you can have a meal in 5 minutes time if you've got some quick cook pasta. Like, they've revolutionized it. And I say that as someone who talks to Squeaky Bean all day, every day. I'm not paid to say any of this. They haven't sent me any freebies or anything like that. But I am just so in love with the brand. They go out of their way to not just talk to me all day, every day, but to some of my friends on Instagram. They are constantly on the ball. I remember doing a little drawing of me with Squeaky Bean, the little logo, back when I first started my account. And I must have had about 60 followers at the time, and Squeaky Bean took a chance on me at that point, and they started talking to me all day, every day. They took an interest in my life. Like, the customer service is just absolutely phenomenal with Squeaky Bean, and I think that is why I will never eat another company's sandwich meat. And I know that sounds really bad, but it just goes to show that if a company takes an interest in you, then I will absolutely pay you back with that loyalty. In comparison, there is a company which I'm not going to mention because I don't want to affect anybody's businesses, but there is a company that I purchased some spice mixes from. If you follow me on Instagram, you'll probably know who I'm referring to if you've looked at my captions. I bought some spice mixes from them, and I must have tagged them in about 100 pictures. I must have tagged them 4 or 5 times a day. Like, I put these spice mixes on everything I eat, and I always tag them. And not once have they ever responded to me. They've never acknowledged me. And I just thought to myself, like, Squeaky Bean have got 47,000 followers. And they took a chance on me with 60 followers. And this company have got about 10,000 followers and they can't even acknowledge that I've used and promoted their product. And I'm not expecting them to say like, oh, here's a PR invite, here's X, Y, and Z. But what I do want is for someone to go, oh, that's a really good use of our toppings. You know, oh, thanks for sharing. So yeah, frustrating. But other products that I like, Coconut Collabs Vegan Double Cream. I use it all the time. Ooh. For everything. It doesn't taste of coconut. It's creamy, it's thick, it's sweet, it's just the best cream on the market. Wow. Like, you can forget Elmlia or whatever they're called. Coconut Collab is the way forward. I use it in everything. Porridge, Italian dishes, curries, you name it. It is just absolutely amazing. And I always keep at least 5 in the fridge. Always. 5.
Wow.
I know, if it drops below 5, I start to panic. yeah, so Coconut Collab. I suppose we've already kind of touched on this bacon.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Outstanding. We don't need to talk anymore about this, but their sausages and their bacon is just better than anything on the market. And I don't know if you guys saw, actually, they did a, they put a reel up a couple of weeks ago where they took bacon, sausage butties, I think it was, to a London butcher's market. And they had butchers try the sausages. Wow. And the butchers were like, oh, this is amazing. This is delicious. What brand is this? And they'd be like, oh, it's this. It's this. And the butchers would be like, no, that's not vegan. No, surely not. And I just think that companies that revolutionize like VFC, like this, companies that really push the boat out to make people aware, just... are my favorite kind of companies, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
And other than that, there's two other things that I wanted to mention.
You carry on.
Thank you. I feel like I'm taking over. I'm like, no, listen, guys, you're going to listen to what I've got to say.
That's why we have you. We have guests on, because it's for the guests to tell us stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, well, otherwise, in that case, buckle in.
Otherwise, it's just
me and Wes talking to each other, and no one wants that.
Tune in for that. I'd be a loyal follower.
We just talk about being old and bald.
Oh, yeah. You guys aren't old. You're what, like 2 years older than me? Come off it.
Okay. There's no way you're 40.
Just accept the compliment. It's fine. I don't know if I follow you on Instagram, Matthew. I don't know. But Wes. Okay.
Matthew's got about 100.
None taken.
Matthew's got about 100 Instagram.
I've offended a host. Perfect. but yeah, Wes will know, because I think he's been following me for a while now, that I am a champion for small and local businesses. I never accept any PR packages or freebies or anything like that. If a small business needs some promo, I will pay full price for an item and I will promote it myself, and making sure I follow the Instagram guidance on like advertising and all that kind of jazz. So I want to mention Jack B's No Vegan Honey, No Bee Vegan Honey. Jack B is someone who, Jack Berry, sorry, not Jack B. Although I'm sure he wouldn't mind. Jack Berry is Blackpool based, which is brilliant for me because he lives not too far from me. And he has created No Bee Vegan Honey, which is, in terms of texture, consistency and taste, it is honey, just without the cruelty to the bees. And I think he's currently got about 200 followers or something like that. But I really want to try and get him as many followers as possible because this No Bee Vegan Honey is amazing. When I get a cold, I'm constantly putting the honey in hot water with lemons and all that kind of stuff. And he's currently got an offer on, actually, where you can get a freebie if you order before the end of January. Yes, it's definitely worth checking out. I love Jack Berry and I love No Bee Vegan Honey. And the last company that I wanted to mention was a company called Unicorn, which is a popcorn company. And there is a lovely lady called Liz who runs Unicorn, and she's based in Worcester, I believe. And she creates lots of boozy popcorn. And lots of like sweet shop candy flavored popcorn. It's all gluten free. It's all vegan. You can choose to have alcoholic varieties or non-alcoholic varieties. And she is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And I'd highly recommend anybody buy some of her popcorn because she's a local small business. And I would just love it if we could get her some more followers.
Sorry, alcoholic popcorn.
Alcoholic popcorn. Yeah. So
I thought that was what you said.
It is. So I went to the Allergy and Free From Fair back in, I think it was October, September, October. And I met Liz there. And I tried the WKD flavor popcorn, which was amazing. Wow. Pina colada flavor. And I'm just trying to think of other flavors that I've tried. Cheeky Vimto. Sweet Shop Candy. She's got loads and loads of different flavors, and I believe that she's actually running an offer from Saturday morning where you can get a mystery box of popcorn. I think it's about 20 quid, but I can't remember off the top of my head. But yeah, unicorn popcorn, definitely worth checking out.
Wow, awesome. Okay, I'm just trying to find them on Instagram.
It's UNIQUORN. Oh. Like unicorn, like uni.
Gotcha.
It took me a while as well. But yeah, they are amazing.
That. I was doing that and I couldn't get it right.
Yeah, unicorn. Just imagine it's uni and then corn, as in the product that I will never purchase ever.
Yes.
I don't know why I've got so much of a problem with corn. I just can't bring myself to it.
The thing is, most of it's not vegan.
Exactly.
No, that's
I think that is my issue.
We barely have corn anymore. No.
Yeah. I just think if a company can't make its mind up, then why bother?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why bother? I can't really get my head around the vegetarian butcher either. But that's another story, I suppose.
Cool. So what advice would you give to anyone who's thinking about becoming vegan?
So firstly, I would I'd congratulate them, because like I've said multiple times now, the hardest step is the first step. The curiosity, once that's peaked and you start looking into things, that's when everything starts to snowball. That's when things fall into place. And that's when you tend to find whether you've got it within you to commit to the lifestyle or not. So what I would say is, you don't have to commit to the lifestyle. You do not have to go into this and dive in and start making cashew cheese sauces. And you don't have to use dates to make chocolate cakes and all that kind of stuff. As a society, we have evolved to such a level that all we need to do now is use Tesco egg replacement powder in place of eggs, which is £2 on the shelf. We replace the butter with Flora plant butter or whichever plant butter you like, and you follow the recipe exactly as you normally would. Aside from those two substitutions, there is nothing that you wouldn't normally do when you make a cake, for example. I would say that you are going to make mistakes, and that is absolutely fine. You do not need to put pressure on yourself. I ordered a pizza from Wes, you might have seen this
I
on my stories.
This, yeah.
Oh, absolutely fuming. Did you hear my scouse come out then? Oh god.
Yes, that was it.
I was absolutely fuming. So I ordered a pizza from Pizza Hut, and I specifically asked for Via Life vegan cheese. It was with the Beyond Meat vegan replacements. Everything about the pizza was vegan, even the base. And they sent a pizza which to me made me go, oh, that looks a bit sus. So I rang them and they said, no, it's definitely vegan, definitely vegan. It's just we've switched over to BioLife now. So I thought to myself, well, I mean, I need to get my hands on this BioLife because it looks really, really good. So anyway, I ate the pizza. And then as I was scrolling through my newsfeed yesterday, because sometimes I like to just look through my own Instagram page, I came across two pictures, and both of them were of the exact same pizza, but one of them was very, very clearly dairy, like even to where you had the brown cheese bubbles on the cheese.
No.
And immediately I just thought to myself, like, I cannot believe that I've made a mistake like this. And I put it on my stories asking for people's opinions as to whether they thought it was dairy or not. And I think I knew in my heart of hearts that it was definitely dairy. But I don't recall eating that pizza thinking to myself, like, this tastes like dairy. So either that says a lot about the quality of vegan cheese, or it says a lot about the fact that my palate has recovered from years and years of eating cheese. But either way, I beat myself up over it for about 24 hours. And it was only a couple of hours ago that I just thought to myself, this was completely outside of my control. I had absolutely no control over this. And that's why it's so important that if you're going to try and adapt to a vegan lifestyle, don't just jump in. Like, take some time, look at your meals that you already have. If you love shepherd's pie, if you love lasagna, just swap the mince out, just swap the white sauce out. Like, it's just so easy to make these changes. And I think that would be my number one piece of advice. Don't be making flaxseed eggs because unless you're comfortable, in all honesty, I probably wouldn't, but that's from someone who used to professionally bake. You don't need to, especially not when Tesco do their egg replacement powder. It's like £2 and you get 16 eggs worth of powder. So you just don't need to do that. So yeah, my advice would be write a meal plan of the things that you eat as someone who eats meat, and then look to see where you can switch things out. You don't have to be vegan straight away. You don't even have to be vegetarian. If you want to swap one day a week where you have a day of not eating meat, absolutely go ahead and do it. Anything will help the cause. Absolutely anything. If you want to just swap your milk out, swap it out to an oat milk. Like, these little things that are more sustainable over time are far better than someone who goes, right, nope, I'm vegan now, so from now on it's going to be tofu, it's going to be veggies, I can't go out for meals, I can't do X, Y, and Z. Instead of that, just look at what you can adapt, because that's how you're going to do it in a sustainable manner.
Absolutely, yeah.
Perfect. Okay. So, who is your vegan inspiration?
Apart from you guys, I mean, lights of my life. I mean, I don't know how I survived without you guys. Honestly, like, this has just been the best hour of my whole entire... No, sorry. Anyway, so in terms of vegan inspiration, most people will be tempted to say, like, oh, Joey Carbstrong, or I don't know, Jodie Marsh, or Ramesh Ranganathan, all of those people. They just came to mind because of Vegan Camp Out this year. I would say my friend Nick, who is on Instagram as Vegan Cyclist Blackpool. Nick and Amanda have, they completely transformed their lives. They were in a situation where they weren't happy and their health was starting to fail and all this kind of stuff. And then one day they just overnight went vegan. They just went vegan, and they cycle hundreds of kilometers every weekend. The entire family is vegan, but they empower their children to make their own decisions. And the family do have some additional needs, and a vegan diet can help with that. And it absolutely does. But they are just the nicest people, and they lead the most ideal vegan lifestyle, but they do it in such a sustainable way that it just feels so natural. And even when I wasn't vegan, I'd be watching them and I'd be thinking, like, they cycled 150 kilometers this weekend. They have, like, I don't know, lentil bolognese for dinner every night. And, you know, they don't sacrifice the good things. They make sure that their children's needs are met nutritionally and otherwise. They are just the most amazing people. So I would probably say them. But aside from Nick and his wife Amanda, I would say my little vegan community. So I set up a little vegan community when my account was only a couple of months old. I think I was on about 800 followers. And there's a bunch of people out there, they all know who they are. But every single day, our WhatsApp group ends up with thousands of messages, with just people constantly talking. A special shout out to my friend Nathan, Vegan with Nathan, or Nathan Eats Vegan, I can't remember which. But he just comes up with the most crazy food substitutions I've ever seen in my life, or food combinations. So the other day he had a sandwich which had mushy peas, jam, a slice of porridge on, which was absolutely bizarre to me. Oh, yeah. I know.
A slice of porridge.
A slice of porridge. And he also does other stuff, like he had porridge with jam and then put potato waffles with ketchup on top. I mean, people on Instagram are loving it. Sometimes I look at it and I feel a bit sick. But just the sheer amount of confidence that he has to just run with who he is, it really, it does actually inspire me on a daily basis to do better than I already do. And I know I can be a bit of a perfectionist. So sometimes it teaches me that I can take a step back and that maybe pictures don't have to look perfect all of the time. Because sometimes you do get caught in that trap. And it can be quite difficult, especially if you're doom scrolling on Instagram and you're thinking, oh my God, Nourishing Amy has got like 110,000 followers and her reels get thousands and thousands and thousands of likes. And then I post a reel and I'm like, great, four people have liked this. So
it's not just us then, that's good.
Oh, no, absolutely not. I do work really hard on my account. That's not to say that other people don't, but what I mean is I've been on a career break for the past 12 months. I haven't really had anything to fill my days with. So my days have been Instagram from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to sleep. Constantly networking, constantly socializing, constantly tagging and trying to innovate as much as I possibly can. And it's been hard work. It's been really hard work. But I think I'm finally starting to see some of the benefits of it, which is brilliant. If I have to start accepting some PR brand deals and that kind of thing just to grow my account a bit more, that would be brilliant because that means I've then got a bigger platform for the local and small businesses so that I can try and promote them as much as possible. But if there's anything I've learned, it's that people will not pay attention. If they don't want to pay attention, they won't pay attention. You can offer them the world, and if they don't want it, they won't take it. So there's only so much that you can do, and I think that's a bitter pill for me to swallow sometimes.
Yeah, that is a hard, it's the hard realization that we get, not just on Instagram, but in most conversations in life, we have, isn't it, that literally you can lead a horse to water,
but you cannot force it to drink,
but you can't make it vegan.
I mean, you can try. I don't know how far you'd get, but you can definitely try. There was something else actually that I wanted to mention with this. Mm-hmm. So I think that my overall vegan inspiration is anybody that is willing to try. Anybody who is willing to put a little bit of effort into at least trying. If you come for a meal with me and I offer you to try something that vegan and you think to yourself, I really don't want to try that, it doesn't look very good. If you try it, then you have my full respect. Like, you don't have to be vegan. You don't have to be a vegetarian. Just make small, sustainable changes. If you're willing and open to the idea of veganism, I have so much respect for you and so much adoration, and I will help you as much as I possibly can. But small-minded and narrow-minded people really grind my gears. Don't just write off veganism because you've got this stereotypical view that all we do is eat leaves and protest and, you know, get involved with fracking protests and all that kind of stuff. We're in the middle of a cost of living crisis, you know. It does get frustrating sometimes when you see people with trolleys full of meat and then you think to yourself, textured vegetable protein is £4 for a kilo. You could get about 15 meals out of that. Why are you buying 3 for £10 on meat? You know, there are so many different things that you can do. That's not to say that, you know, textured vegetable protein will fix everything, but it's just saying that we are in a position at the moment where we have to look after ourselves. and we do need to be careful with what we're doing because nobody else has got our backs.
Yeah. I think I might know what this answer might be, but let's go with it anyway. So what's your favourite vegan venue or restaurant at the moment?
What do you think it'll be, just out of curiosity?
I think it's going to be Seitan Hustle.
See? Right, okay. Oh, God. Ooh, Tony.
Here we go.
Tony, I love you and I love Seitan Hustle. But my favourite vegan restaurant isn't just a restaurant. It is a music venue. It is a hub for small and local business. It is a hub for creativity. It is an experience, and it is Church Temple of Fun in Sheffield. So I don't know if you guys know anything about church. No?
I don't think so.
No? Okay.
I mean, I'm assuming you don't mean the church.
Oh, no. I mean, sometimes we do make jokes about how we're going to church this Sunday, but it's not necessarily the praying version. So church is... It's a restaurant based in Sheffield, and it was set up by and owned and run by Ollie Sykes from Bring Me the Horizon.
Oh yes, we've mentioned him on the podcast bands. Before.
Yeah. He's amazing. And he has created this almost church-like venue, which does turn into like an art. So an arty venue on some days where they do doggy life drawings, they do macrame classes, they do life drawing, they do film screenings. When you walk in, it is an experience. They've got photo booths, they've got holes in the walls with sofas built into them and Sega Mega Drive, so you can just sit in the wall and you can play Bubsy or you can play whatever you want on the Sega Mega Drive. And the decor always matches the season that you're in. So if it's Christmas, obviously it'll be Christmas. If it's around Valentine's Day, it'll be very lovey. If it's around winter, everything will be quite dark and gothy. But the food is, I mean, I've talked about it now for about 5 minutes and haven't even mentioned the food yet. So that should tell you how good this place is. They have exquisite food. It is so good. They do like charcoal burgers, they do frickle fries, which they used to do at V-Revs, which unfortunately has closed down, and I miss those frickle fries more than life itself. They do charred corn ribs, satay fries. I can't off the top of my head think of everything that they do, but it is an experience, and that's what makes it so different from Seitan Hustle, from Down the Hatch in Liverpool, to Caribou Poutine in Liverpool, V-Revs, Virgo Co, all those kinds of places where you are going to get amazing food, but the experience itself is not going to be anything special, whereas church is, it's like going to church. In all honesty, it really is. And I would strongly recommend that anybody tries church and lets me know what they think, because it is my favourite place in the UK. Cool. Absolutely my favourite place, yes. And it doesn't just bring in an alternative crowd either. So the crowd tends to be people who are in their late 50s. It might be families that are going out for their dinner. It could be uni students that are just chilling out, wanting some space. It doesn't just bring in an alternative crowd. So if anybody's thinking, oh, I'd love to try that, but I'm not alternative enough, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that at all. It is genuinely like a working man's club in the most like basic of terms.
Brilliant. Yeah, I've always wanted to go there. I know. I, in fairness, now that you've said, as soon as you said Ollie Sykes and Bring Me the Horizon, I was like, yeah, I know. Since I found out he was vegan, I was like, yeah, I want to go there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and he's using his platform for good as well. So
absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, but Seitan Hustle is a close second.
Excellent. Okay, so final question: do you have hope for the future?
That's a loaded question. It is a loaded question. I do think the tide is turning with veganism. And I have a lot of faith that people are starting to make the right choices. Sorry, not the right choices. They're starting to make better, more sustainable choices. So when I go to Starbucks, generally speaking, two or three people in the queue will ask for oat milk rather than regular milk, which I think is amazing that people are starting to catch on. There was a moment where on TikTok, all the secret Starbucks drinks came up. I don't know if you ever saw them, where you could get like a Nutella. I've never said that before in my life. Like a Nutella hot chocolate, all those kinds of things. And I came up with a way of making it vegan for some of my friends. So there were some of my friends who perhaps preferred milk, who now will go into Starbucks and order like a Nutella hot chocolate or a Kinder Bueno Frappuccino, because there is a way of making those vegan. And the oat milk is hidden to such an extent that they don't even realize that they're not eating or drinking dairy. So that's really good. I have kind of touched on the cost of living crisis and how frustrating it is when I see people with trolleys stacked high with processed pizzas and turkeys and chickens and all these kinds of things, when they could so very easily look at something like soya mints or textured vegetable protein, or even frozen soya mints, just to try and make things more sustainable. And I'm not saying that, you know, people shouldn't be out there buying all of these things. What I'm saying is we have to look after ourselves and we have to think about our health as well. We've just gone through a global pandemic and not everybody made it through. And our eyes are open now to the fact that something as simple as a common cold can be enough to kill someone. I was in hospital over Christmas with bacterial pneumonia.
Wow.
And I am, generally speaking, fit and well, but it floored me. And had I not gone to hospital when I did, I probably wouldn't be here. But because I was on the verge of sepsis. But it just goes to show that if we are going to get ill, and we need to do everything we can to try and prevent that from happening as much as possible. The strain on the health service, I think we're all painfully aware of that. But such simple things such as switching out dairy for an alternative or cutting out meat 2 days a week can reduce the risk of cancer. And I don't want to sound like I don't know, like a Guardian news reporter who's like, oh, you have to cut all of these things out, red meat will kill you, blah 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 blah. I mean, it will. But my point is there are things that we can do to try and prevent things like type 2 diabetes and all those kinds of things. And if we can do them in a kind of sustainable way that doesn't cause harm to living beings, why on earth aren't we doing that? Why aren't
we? Absolutely, yeah.
So it's absolutely bizarre because there has been, as someone that worked for the NHS through the pandemic, it has given birth almost to these people who are, how do I put this nicely? Self-entitled, who believe that they are above everyone and everything. And they don't believe that they should have to change their diet, or they don't believe that they should have to, you know, pay extra on their energy bills, blah, 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 blah. Because they made it through the pandemic and they believe that they are better than everybody. Mm. And as an NHS member of staff who was responsible for scheduling surgeries, who had to cancel surgeries due to COVID beds, who had to have really difficult conversations with cancer patients about bed management, that doesn't sit well with me because it has borne the selfishness of some people. I remember speaking to a patient, and I won't say anything identifiable, but I remember speaking to a patient and saying, look, I have a young girl who has just been diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. She needs to have her surgery. So unfortunately, I'm going to have to move your highly elective breast enlargement surgery to another date. And she said, absolutely not, you will not do that, I'm having my surgery, she can die. And I just thought to myself, how dare Jesus. You yeah,
wow.
And that's what I mean by this level of self-entitlement where people think that, you know, they deserve more than everybody else. That's not the case, and it should never be the case. So yeah, I do have hope for the future, but not as much hope as I'd like.
Oh, that's a good way to finish.
Yes.
Thanks so much, Elle. That's been really brilliant.
Elle, thank you ever so much for coming on.
Oh, no problem.
Hope you've enjoyed it.
No problem at all. It's been mediocre, but no, I'm kidding. It's been great.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, and I'm sure we'll speak again soon.
If I don't block you first.
Zing.
I won't. Don't worry. I won't.
So, you know, I enjoyed that. It was really good. And at some point in the future, if you're ever up this way, we need to get over to Blackpool area, wherever it might be. I can't remember where it is now. We'll have to Google it. Someone will tell us. Someone will.
Fleetwood. I looked it up on
Satan. Fleetwood. Satan Hut.
Yeah.
It looks incredible. And there's a lot of in the vegan pages that are like the Lancashire vegan pages and stuff, there's a lot about Satan's. It's like,
okay.
We need to get over there.
Cool. Okie dokie.
Yeah.
Well, that was great. So if you've listened to that and enjoyed it, then why don't you come on and tell us your story? Because Absolutely. We would love to hear it.
We would.
And if you do want to do that, you can get in touch on any of our socials. You can join the Facebook tribe. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Twitter, all over the place, really.
Yeah, pretty much. And if you do want to send us a message, you can email us at that email address that I keep forgetting.
HowIVeganPodcast@gmail.com.
I will stop talking at some point in the future. Thank you for listening.
Yes.
And we should be back with more amazing guests in the future.